Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Oh, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
God is good. Amen. Amen. Let's thank the Lord, shall we? So good to see you this morning. The Lord bless you richly. Those that are tuning in live, it is always an honor to have you as well. And they should not have done that because that made me so emotional. I thought I was going to start crying, you know, because I look so good. No. Oh, that was a long time ago. Aren't you glad that God has done all this at Calvary? Amen. The Lord is so good. You know, today is what we set this day aside every year. It's Mission Sunday, on the third Sunday of the month, meaning it's Love Never Fails Sunday. And so we're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and I'm going to say a few words, and then we're going to get started. But this is a great day. This is all of you that is tuning in live. Listen, no matter what, where you are in the world, whatever state you're in, please don't just say, well, we're not teaching like normal, but we are. But listen, don't go away, because you're going to be excited about the things you're going to hear. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then I'm going to open up the service, and we'll get started. Father, thank you for this incredible day that you've given unto us. And Father, I thank you for the wonderful board meetings that were held yesterday with our board members, so faithful, been with us so many years. And Lord, for the incredible things that you're doing at this place called Calvary Chapel. And we thank you, Lord, this morning as we pray. Of course, Lord, we must pray for peace in the Middle East, the things that are happening. And it is our earnest prayer, Lord, that our nation not be drawn into a needless war. And Father, so we pray for peace. We pray for those that are ill, for Pat Cole, for Marshall, all Karen Harris, all so many people. Lord, we lift up each and every day that you would bless them. And I pray this morning, Lord, that as our principal, she'll be coming forward in a moment, Heather, that you bless her. And Stephen Carroll, Lord, our mission pastors from Mexico that are here with us, that you bless them and bless all that we do, because we do it for the children, Lord, that you love. And we love you with all of our heart. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. You know, I want to, first of all, before I ask Heather to come, well, we're going to have a video first before Heather comes up, but I want to just thank everyone, all of you, those that are at home right now and you're listening live. Listen, I thank you for the incredible support that you have given unto Halton Christian School and to Camargo, the work at our orphanage. It's just been, 2023 was an incredible year of your giving, and we're so thankful. And I'm asking you, in Jesus' name, to continue that. Amen? Very important. That's, God has called us, you know, our global work, as you already know, is the orphanage in Camargo, Mexico. Our local work is Halton Christian School. And, you know, the thing that's so wonderful is that there's always new children coming. And there we are, we're ready for them. We know what we're going to do. And they have yet to experience, especially, say, in Mexico, your love and generosity, but they will. Every time a child shows up at the orphanage, that's exactly what happens. So this morning, what we're going to do, we're going to dim the lights, and we're going to start off with a video, Halton Christian School, our local work, and then I'm going to come back up here and introduce to you our principal, Heather Gonzalez. Amen? Well, so let's watch the video. Look what God has done. Amen? What a blessing that is. I don't know of anyone that works harder than our principal, Heather Gonzalez. I mean, if I could work as hard as she works, well, I would probably look a lot better. You know what I'm saying? But she's done a tremendous job, and we're very thankful for her and all of the staff. So would you please welcome Heather? Where are you? There she's coming up. And
take your time. Well, good morning. It's always an honor and a privilege to share with you all another year of what God's doing here at Haltom Christian School. At HCS, we are passionately committed to shaping hearts. God has built this school, a ministry, designed to give children a hope and a future. The Lord has placed and entrusted the vision to build Haltom Christian in the hearts of the people that He's chosen and called to this place. As I've shared before, at the beginning of every school year, the Lord gives me a word to hold on to, a word that prepares my heart for the things to come in the new school year. Before school began, the word from the Lord for this year came from Nehemiah 2, 18 through 20. And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, "Let us rise up and build." Then they set their hands to this good work. Opposition quickly ensues, and Nehemiah answers his opponents by saying to them, "The God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build." The mission for the staff this year was to be prayed up and prepared to build. As I studied Nehemiah, the Lord laid on my heart to explore the word build in the Bible, and I was overwhelmed with where this word study took me. It took me straight back to year one in my life scripture. The word build appears in 1 Corinthians 3:10. As I reflected on this chapter, the Lord allowed me to uncover something so beautiful. Beginning at my life scripture in 1 Corinthians 3:6, each subsequent verse chronologically mirrored the events of the school as God has grown the work here at Haltom. 2019, the Lord's work in my heart that he qualifies the called rather than calls the qualified. Our dedication to the Lord and our open doors. 8 hearts. Verse 6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. We must only be obedient unto the Lord with servant hearts, honor the labor, but only God can make the work grow. 2020, the year of the ark amidst the storm of COVID closures, the manifestation of our homeschool heart and parent partnership, the year of growth against all odds. Verse 7, so then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. A reminder that the Lord is working when we are not. We are only his vessels. The school belongs to none other than him. 2021, the year of co-laboring in unity for the hearts of children. Verse 8, now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Parents and teachers, coming together as one educator, capturing the Lord's vision of Haltom's homeschool heart, training the minds and impacting the hearts of each and every precious child and their families. 2022, the year of being content in your present circumstance, the refinement of our team of mission-minded teachers. Verse 9, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. The Lord's evident hand of establishing, building, the team of teachers that would be his hands and feet as we work with the Lord by sitting at his feet. 2023, we know who we are and whose we are and why we do what we do. Verse 10 says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. At HCS, we continue to look to our master builder, the Lord, the owner of the blueprints for Haltom Christian School. As we enter 2024, a year of letting go and trusting God fully, his plans, his purpose, his way, I look to verse 11, and the cascade of truth from 1 Corinthians 3 continues, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. the Lord has established a strong foundation of Christ for our students here at HCS. He is the foundation, and he continues to build and shape the vision. While for now, it has been determined that Haltom Christian School will be an elementary school serving students in pre-K through sixth grade, the teachers, the staff, and the parents will continue to serve the Lord together as we steadfastly seek him and his will, faithfully firm up this foundation, and tenderly tend to this good work. Yet it is not only the foundation of the school that has been laid, for it is not an earthly foundation that we lay, but a spiritual one. At HCS, we are blessed to lay on every little heart a foundation of the truth of Jesus Christ. And to date, we have been a part of laying a Christ foundation in 70 hearts. Haltom Christian School is just the beginning stepping stone of giving children a future, the starting point. In Jeremiah 29:11, God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you," says the Lord, "thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." As I studied this verse, Strong's Concordance defines thoughts as an intention, plan, and interestingly, imagination. I'm excited to see what the Lord's thoughts are towards Haltom Christian School. Whatever they are, we know with certainty that his plans are higher than anything we can imagine. For our God is wise in heart and mighty in strength. He does marvelous and great things past finding out, and his words, his works and wonders are without number. His care preserves our spirit, and the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. So may our hearts be filled with hope for the future as we continue to serve the Lord. May the Lord's will always be done at Haltom Christian School, and may Christ always be the foundation. Thank you.
I say amen to that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You know, we're going to watch another video, and it's our global work, of course, at Casa Hogar there in Camargo, Mexico, and then we're going to be welcoming our missionary pastor, Stephen Carol Chavez. So let's go ahead and lower the screen is already lowered, right? There we go. Let's play the next video. Thank you. Testing. Now I'm on. Whew. You, sometimes when you get to be a little older, you forget which way to turn the switch. You see? You know what is so awesome? We hardly ever give credit to Abby and the way she does her videos. What she does such a great job, amen. But what really got me about this one was that song. Was that a beautiful song? I just thank the Lord for that. Amen. God is so good. You know, you who have been here for many, many years and know Steve and Carol and how many years they've been with us and all the work that they're doing in Mexico at the orphanage. But what's always amazing to me, because I was there at the very beginning, when there were still all the bullet holes from the cartel and there was nothing. I mean, it was, you cannot believe the condition it was in. And if I can only, there's only one way to describe the work that Steve and Carol has done. They brought life out of death. You know what I mean? I mean, it's like the Camargo, the orphanage, has been born again. It's like a new birth has taken place. So with all that being said, would you please welcome them? They're going to come up here and share with us. And I'm very thankful for them. Praise the Lord. So I guess I should have said, Steve is coming up here. Praise the Lord. But Carol.
Love you too.
All right. Thank you. You know, it's really good to be back here and see so many old faces and see so many new faces. Not that you guys are old or anything, it's just, but it's good to see new faces too. You know, a wise, wise man has taught us throughout the years and has just showed us through the school, through the orphanage in Mexico, and just to all that we've done throughout the years. Isn't God good? We are so thankful that we have been given the opportunity to work in Mexico, to be part of these children's lives, and to share with them the love that God has for them. We just know that He wants the best for them. At the orphanage, we currently have 26 kids, four babies that you saw in the video, under 3 years old, four boys under 11 years old, 11 girls under 13 years old, and we have 6 teenage girls. It's hard to tell children how they're loved and important when that they're important to God when their short lives of 15 years or younger, all they've been told is and shown through their actions and words is that they don't matter. They're just a problem. They're just in the way of someone else's life. They're often neglected, abandoned, and so someone else, often their parents, so that they can live their selfish life that they've chosen to live, which many times does not include the kids. They're just not included. These kids have been found on the street, hungry, dirty, living in abandoned buildings, and trying to make it on their own. So the challenge that Pastor Luna, Teresa, Carol, and I have been to show these children that there is a God that loves them so much that He's given His all, and to show them that they are important, that they're not just in the way, but they do matter, and that they are loved, and that God has a plan for them, as He does for all of us. Like Heather was saying, Jeremiah 29:11, "For God knows the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for prosperity, not disaster, to give you a future and a hope." For a lot of these kids, the time for us at the orphanage that they've spent with us, a future and a hope is not part of their thinking when they arrive. All they're thinking about is, how do I get through today? For the short lives that these kids have lived, all they have known is disaster, neglect, abandonment. So building trust and confidence in these kids is not an easy thing, as we all know. These kids have had to make decisions on their own. And they don't like it when you tell them what doesn't agree with them, that they know it doesn't not to be true in their own minds. Things like, no one cares. No one's going to help me. So I have to do it on my own. I can't trust anyone. And what you say doesn't match what you do. I'm not important to anyone. When kids are abandoned and left on their own, it's hard to build trust back into them. Here's a few photos of pictures before and after of how the kids first come to the orphanage and how they're doing today. In the pictures before, you can see mistrust and fear in their eyes. This is a family of six siblings. There's only five there, but there'll be six. They came to us dirty, unbathed, hungry, scared, untrusting, and neglected. All but one of them had never really been to school. Now you can see they're a lot happier, they're healthy, they participate in school events, they have security knowing that all their siblings are still together and being cared for, and they're loved now. Happy. This is a photo of three sisters that have been at the orphanage for 6 months. They were also found neglected, in poor condition, left at home alone, and many times these kids were seen traveling on the main highway by themselves, three little kids walking down the street. They were reported to the authorities because they were afraid that a car was going to just run over them. Today they're happy. They just love to be hugged. These kids, when they first got to the orphanage, they came with their skin was very scaly. They hadn't been bathed in a long time. They were very fearful. They cried a lot, and they were very reserved. Now they just love. When you come in, they love to show you their toys, and they just love it. They just love being there. These two kids came to the orphanage about a year ago. Grecia was 10, Brandon 8, and they came in February. They came from a very difficult situation. Their mother was on drugs. She's in rehab now. Their father, we have no idea where he's at. They were scared when they came, and they both had never been to school. On the first week of school, when they sent them, they ran away. We had to go look for them and found them in a relatively short time, but they were very scared, untrusting. Today, they're just eager to learn. They just love books. They just can't get enough of learning. This is a picture of those three kids, two sisters, and their nephew. They came to us almost 2 years ago. These three were found in an abandoned house with no food, no water. The oldest girl has never been to school. They're a little bit happier now. They just love being around at the orphanage, and they're a big part of all the kids there. They feel loved, and they're thankful to be in a safe and secure place that they can call home. This is a picture of the first day of school this year, and when they had just gotten home, and they just can't wait to get back to school. I would like to say here that Carol and I feel privileged that God has allowed us to be part of this great work that he is doing in Camargo, Mexico. But we are most thankful for how you all have responded to the Holy Spirit's tugging on your hearts and acting on what God wants you to do to be part of this work. Your obedience to this work is what makes it all possible. These kids are living today with more trust, confidence, and knowing that they are loved because of the faithfulness, your faithfulness to God in supporting this work. Through God's word, which, by the way, they are memorizing and putting God's word into their hearts, they know and can see that there is a hope and a future. They have memorized the Ten Commandments, the New Testament books, John 3:16, and they also memorized some life verses, such as Philippians 2:14, that tells us to do all things without grumbling and disputing, which they're working on. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit, and more. They read stories in the Bible about Adam and Eve, Moses, Noah, Samson, Peter, Paul. We're giving the kids the truth to think about instead of all the bad things that have been they've been through and what fills their minds. We're asking God to use us to help transform them by renewing their minds so that they can see for themselves what God's will is for them, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. If it wasn't for your obedience and faithfulness to God, this would not be possible. They know that there is a church family behind us who cares for them very, very much and wants the best for them. And we thank you. The best for them, a future and a hope, a trust and a saving relationship of their own that they will have with God who loves them more than they will ever know. It's been more than a privilege for Carol and I over the past 2.5 years to be a part of the hands and the feet and the representatives of Calvary Chapel of Fort Worth and of God to these kids and to all who we come in contact with. We thank you, and we continue to ask for your prayers and support for these children, that they will come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior and see that with God, there is a future and there is a hope. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Love you. Boy, that's a big, big amen. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for them and all the things that are happening. What I would like for you to do in the remaining time that we have, if you'd turn in your Bibles with me, please, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. You know the parable of the Good Samaritan very well, I'm sure, verse 25. Luke 10:25. This is a special day. This is one of the most special days of the year, okay, on our calendar. And because we set aside this day to praise the Lord, to give thanks for all that he has done, and for his incredible faithfulness. Amen? I mean, God is so faithful in the way that he just opens the doors and opens also the hearts of the people to support what he has called us to do, okay? So the Bible tells us in Psalm 115:1, not unto us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. So year after year, I've had the incredible privilege to see the grace of God, the goodness of God, the promises of God, and the love of God absolutely come to pass on all the things that he's called us to. And we never had to beg. It's just God just opens up the doors of people's heart because he is the faithful God. Amen? Amen. Now, with all that being said, you've heard the word from Heather, and you heard the word from Steve, and there was a word that they used, and that word was future. Say that with me, future. Isn't future, did you know that's a beautiful word? That's a beautiful word. You know, when you tell a child who has no real future, It could be a life of horrible poverty. It could be prison, the things that they go through. When they have no real future and you tell them that they have a future, now that's one thing. But when you take a child and you prove to him that she or he, they indeed have a future, everything changes. Amen? And that's what's so important, and that's what we do. I love to see the heart of a child when they're hopeless. And then all of a sudden, they are hopeful because they see what was impossible in their life all of a sudden become possible because of the love of God and the servants of God. Amen? And that's what's so important, loved one. So for over 20 years now, Love Never Fails International, that's what we've done. We give hope and a future and all kind of provision for children. And you know what? For the last 31, 32 years, that's what we've done right here. We've built, you've built, all of us have built a place called Calvary Chapel for the next generation. Amen? Amen? How wonderful is that? And that's what's going on in the school. That's what goes on in the kids' church. That's what happens. You know, we've quoted a very favorite verse. Matter of fact, it might be one of the most favorite verses in the Bible. Jeremiah 29:11. It reads again. It says, "For I know," God says, "I know the thoughts I think toward you." Do you know that God's thinking about you right now? He knows what he's thinking about you too. And you know, you say, "Well, I don't want him thinking about me right now." But he's thinking good things, amen? He says, "I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Now, that was written all the way back in the time of Jeremiah. These were the Jewish believers there. They were in Babylonian exile, okay? They had lost everything they had. They had no future in their eyes. They had no hope. And they even believed that God had forgotten them because they had backslidden into idolatry and went off into captivity after Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the temple and took them out of their land and so forth. But God says, "Oh no, I give you a future." You know something? With God, there's always a future. And 70 years later, did God bring Judah out of the land of Babylon? Yes, he did. Why? Because he is the faithful God. And no one can give a future like God, like our Savior. Amen? Are you at Luke's Gospel chapter 10? Verse 25, let's look at this quickly now. "And behold, a certain lawyer," a lawyer, remembers, an expert in the law of Moses, "he stood up and he did something. He tested Jesus." Now, Jesus is the ultimate expert in the law of God, isn't he? Amen. "And he said to him, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? How can I be saved?' He said to him," well, Jesus said, "'what's written in the law? What's your reading or what's your understanding of it?' So he answered," and he's going to quote, of course, what every Jew would know and what we should know is one of the vision statements of this church, "the great commandment." And he says, "Well, you shall love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your strength, and all of your mind." And also, even the word love is not in there. It is in the great commandment. Amen. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." So the expert in the law, here he is questioning Jesus, and he says, and he asks a great answer. He asks the right answer, but he does so without any personal commitment in his heart at all. In other words, he's got God's word in his mind, but he doesn't have God's word in his heart, which leads to an action. Does that make sense? And so he says, "You're going to love your neighbor as yourself, as me." That's a big one. And he said to him, to Jesus, "Well, you answered rightly. Pardon me. Do this and you will" what? "You're going to live." Pardon me. "But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus," meaning he wasn't really sincere, okay? He said, "Well, who is my neighbor?" Question. Do you think that lawyer, the expert in the law of Moses, do you think that he needed more biblical knowledge? No. Do you think he needed to be retaught the scriptures all over again? No. What he really wanted was this. Okay, Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, Jesus, how far do I really take that commandment, you know? I mean, how far does my obligation go? And so what does Jesus say? He tells him a parable that we all know. And Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down to from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell among thieves, and look what they did to this individual, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Does that person that's nearly half dead, does his future look pretty dim? Absolutely, he's dying. But there is hope. Look what happens. Now by chance, a certain Calvary Chapel pastor, no, I'm sorry. Now by chance, a certain Baptist, no, I'm sorry. A certain priest, meaning one of Aaron's descendants, okay? A certain priest came down that road. And when he saw this guy stripped of his clothing and wounded and half dead, oh, he had tremendous compassion upon him, right? Oh, I'm sorry. He passed by. Oh, where did he go? The other side. Now, a little later on, look what happened. Later on, likewise, a Levite, remember the Levites assisted the priest at the temple. He says, and when he had arrived, well, he came and he looked upon this wounded individual that's half dead. And what did he do? He passed by on the other side. Now, listen carefully. You have two men who knew God's word. Two men who were a priest, if you will, unto the Lord. Two men who represents God and should represent him in action. They had been to the temple. They had been up there working with the bread and the incense and the prayers and all of that, you know, and singing the psalms. And they were happy Christians, if you will, we put it that way. Now they're on their way back home. And so they go down that 17-mile road there to Jericho and go on back home and so forth. But what happens is this. They just pass by. They don't give a future to that man at all. And if anyone could have given a future, it would have been those two men. Amen? And he was dying. So what did they do? Well, they just passed by. They looked upon him and so forth. So two people who knew to do something, they didn't do anything. And you know why? Because religion never does anything. Religion. Do you understand? Religion just looks at the problem. And usually religion says, oh, you're an inconvenience. I don't have time to bandage up your hurt. And if it's a little boy, little girl, we don't have time to spend with you. You know, suck it up, build a bridge and get over it, whatever. You know what I mean. And in other words, religion is always helpless because it's nothing more than it's just powerless. It doesn't do anything. It only talks. It doesn't have a walk at all. Religion is always occupied with others. I mean, with self, not with others. And so here's what happened. That word but, what a contrast. But a certain Samaritan, remember the Samaritans, they were not loved by the Jews. Amen? They weren't allowed in the synagogue. They were actually considered demons. And they prayed that they had no part in the resurrection. So they were hated. So a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed where he was, when he saw him, now he didn't know him, he saw his condition, didn't know anything about his past, didn't know if he was a good man, didn't know if he was a bad man, he didn't know anything about him. So what did he do? He went to him, he bandaged up his wounds, he played the role of a doctor. And it says, and then pouring on the oil and the wine, he set him on his own animal, and he brought him to an inn, and he took care of him. He became not only a protector, he became a provider. And on the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, that's 2 days' wages, which would have paid the innkeeper about 24 days for that person to stay there. And he gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, now, take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you. Did you see what love does? Did you know that love, when you look at this, the love gave back this person's future that had no future? Does that make sense? And I look at that, and he loved his neighbor as himself. In other words, he crawled into his flesh and said, that could be me. Every time, I don't know what type of life, all of us have different lives as we grew up. But when I look into the eyes of a child, whether they're at, they could be in Halton Christian School, they could be in the kids' church. When I look and when they're, you can see hopelessness. Did you know that? It's hard for a little one, did you know a little one to act like nothing's wrong? You see it written all over them. And you know, whenever I see a hurting child, every time I pass there in the office, there's the first picture that I took all those many, many years ago, way before Reynosa and Camargo, of that little girl standing in a trash pit with no one, living in horrifying poverty. Every time I pass in this hallway and I look at her, it hurts my heart, because I often wonder what happened to her. What happened to her? I passed her by. I was just taking pictures of her. I didn't stop. And I look and I say, this man, he stopped. He crawled into that man's skin. He says, I'm going to treat you like I want to be treated myself. So what did Jesus do? He said, so which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And the expert, what did he say? He said, he who showed mercy on him, Lord. And so Jesus said to him, what did he say to do? Go and do likewise. I want you to imagine yourself just for a moment. A little boy, a little girl, like Steve was saying a minute ago, walking down the streets in Mexico like those three little children. But you're one of them. And there they are. And you know how it feels to, if you don't have any parents. You have no support. You have nothing. And there they are. There's no provision. There's no hope. There's no direction. And there is no real future. And of course, the cartel, they're just waiting to you know what I mean. Oh, it's so wicked. And think about that. And then all of a sudden, you get those children, and you saw the pictures of the sad faces. You take those children from that environment, and then you bring them to Camargo, and guess what happens? You just gave them their future back. Does that make sense? That's exactly what you've been doing. Do you understand that you are giving a future to children? And is there anything greater than that? Oh, come on. Is there anything greater than that? Oh, listen, for over 20 years ago, right there when my office was upstairs where I still wish it was, I called it the upper room. That was where the Lord spoke to me about the charity, to start one, gave me the foundational scripture. As I was going through the Word of God and came down that very night, changed my entire sermon, and I preached on Proverbs 19:17, the scripture that God gave me, the foundational scripture of Love Never Fails International, our public Christian charity. It says, he who has pity on the poor, pity, meaning a hand up, not a hand out, to give someone a future. Does that make sense? Okay, he who hath pity, not the emotion of pity, but who says, I see those children, I see their eyes, and I want to help. See, pity does something. A hand up, not a handout, which gives them a future. And God says this, he who hath pity upon the poor, listen to what God says, lendeth to me. Can you believe that scripture? It's really in the Bible. God says, you lend to me. You have pity on a poor child, a poor person. He says, if you do that, you lend to me. And God says, I will pay back what you have given. Do you really believe that scripture? Do you believe the promises of God? That scripture has sustained Love Never Fails International. And it's also not only sustaining the work in Camargo, it's sustaining the work at Haltom Christian School. Does that make sense? It's because they're under that umbrella. And I say, oh, God, you're so good. I believe your word. So what is God saying? I want a loan from you. That's why this day is so special. I want a loan, and I'm going to pay you back. But here's the deal. Don't you dare, if you want to give God a loan, don't define how he's going to pay you back. And let me tell you why. God's definition is better than yours. Amen? And that's so important. The Bible says in Proverbs 28, 27, he who gives to the poor will not lack, but he who hides his eyes will have many curses. Proverbs 21, 13, whoever shuts his eyes to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard. You know, I'm going to be asking you for money. So just don't shut down. Don't hide your wallet. When you write a check to the Lord, tithe, offer, is it just a piece of paper to you? I'm not being mean. I'm asking a question. It's an act of worship. I heard someone say that. Yes, it is. But there's something else. You see, when you do that for today, this is when you love your little neighbors as yourself. This is when there it is, that piece of money or that dollar bill, whatever it is, it says to Stephen Carroll, it says to Heather, whatever it might, it says, I have this to educate my children or to pay teachers more salary, or I now have food in my stomach in Mexico. Are you listening to me? Or I have medical attention. I mean, I'm eaten up with this all over my skin, but now I get to go to the doctor, and I have a home to live in. I have a hot shower, and I have hot food, and I have a spiritual mother and father called Stephen Carroll who adores and loves those children, and those children love them. Man. It just doesn't get better than that. A safe place and a future is what you do. And some of them might be saying, especially you online, I want you to give too. And you're saying, yeah, I knew you were going to take up an offering. Of course I am. But I'm not asking, loved one, listen, I'm the only time I ever do this, you don't ever hear me talk about tithes and offerings, do you? No, I don't do that unless it comes to it in Scripture. We've always practiced one thing. We believe where God guides, he has always provided, and he always has. We don't put pressure on people. We don't put guilt upon people. I mean, you know, God loves a cheerful giver, and he'll take from a grumpy Christian too, okay? But the fact of the matter is that I am one thing, and I am the voice for the children, amen? No, I am. I'll cry for them, I'll weep for them, I beg for them, I'll do anything for children. You see, I'm not asking you to just give, I'm asking you to sacrifice today. Sacrifice. I'm asking you to lay up treasure in heaven. Because the things that we do right now are things that are for eternity. Does that make sense? It changes people's lives. And remember the rich young ruler? You know, he came unto Jesus, you know, and he, in the Gospel of Mark and all what, and he says, Lord, you know, I've kept all these commandments and so forth, and, you know, I've never sinned, basically. And Jesus looked at him and loved him and said, well, you know what? You lacketh one thing. Go and sell all that you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Treasure in heaven. And then come on, take up the cross and follow me. 100%, 100% of what you give right now, okay? Not one penny goes to Calvary Chapel. Not one penny. 100%. You give to Haltom Christian School, it goes right to Haltom Christian School. This is Love Never Fails Day, okay? Not Calvary Chapel Day. And 100%, anything you give for Mexico, it goes 100% to the work in Mexico. And I want you to do something as you do that this morning, as the ushers now, they're getting ready to come down, not just yet, but they're getting ready, is this, please don't look at what you give as a loss. Look at it as gain. Listen, it says in Proverbs 28, 27, he who gives to the poor will not lack, Do you believe the word of God? Well, you know, you're not going to lack. See, you're giving right now. It turns the word offering into love. We've heard love offering. That's what this means. So when you look at it, if you're looking and say, well, I'm giving to Halton Christian School, praise the Lord, I hope you are. But you know what you're doing? You are then helping to educate children for the future. Amen? And if you're going to give to Mexico, and I pray you do, I pray you give to both. I pray you sacrificially give. That means that they have a warm bed, they have a safe place, they have a full stomach, they have hope. They have a future, and they did not have a future. And it means that you are giving them a future. Ushers, come down, please. Listen, the Bible is, what did Jesus tell us? In Luke 6:38, he said this. He said, give, and it shall be. This side, do you not go to church? Give, and it shall be given unto thee. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Amen? Running over. Oh, man, will be put into your bosom. Now, are you ready for the next part Jesus said? For with the measure that you use it, give it, whatnot, it will be measured back to you. It doesn't say how it's going to be measured back to you, but it's going to be measured back to you. Amen? I would love to see not one need in the school this year and one need in Camargo. Amen? Amen. And you, listen, I know you've been faithful all these years, and you blow me away with your faithfulness, but there's so much that needs to be done this year, and I'm asking you to do it, and I'm thanking you in the greatest name in the universe for doing that this year. Father, we praise you now. I praise you, Lord, and thank you for those who have given. And Lord, I don't want one person to give out of pressure. I don't want one person to give out of guilt. I want them to give because they are in love with you, in love with your word. And Lord, that they do love you with all their heart, and they also love their neighbors as themselves. So Lord, I give you praise now. And I ask that those who've made a loan to you, those who have pity upon those little poor children, any child, Lord, pay back what they've been given. But I know that when you do, it'll be greater down the road than what they could ever imagine. We pray over the school this year, Lord, that you bless every teacher, that you fill their hearts with wisdom, that you give them spiritual discernment as they look into the eyes of every child, and that, Lord, reveal to them if there is a hurt there, if there's a secret pain. Lord, if they just need a hand upon a shoulder or maybe a prayer being offered. And, Lord, we pray over Steve Carroll and Lord, the work at Camargo, Pastor Luna, Teresa. We pray over them, Lord. We pray over every child, and we pray for all the future children that are coming, that now they leave that and come in where they have a real home and a real future. I'm thankful for this day. I am thankful for your people. I am thankful to you, O God. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's stand to